Welcome to episode 387 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
This is one in our continuing series on microbes and microbiology. If you'd like to catch the other episodes, you can find them by visiting thelabwithbrad.com. Let me talk a little extra bassy. I'm doing an intro.
Moo.
Bah.
I was going to make farm noises, but
hey, well, not so much the farm as the zoo.
Yes.
Although we're going to start by with eukaryotes.
Okay.
Even though they're the more complicated one.
Mm-hmm.
And, eukaryotes versus prokaryotes. I saw a news thing where some of the parents were upset about the requirements to pass this test that all the seniors had to do.
Okay.
And he's like, my daughter's going to become a hairdresser. Why does she need to know the difference between a prokaryote and a eukaryote?
Well, how do you know?
That's funny. At the time, I was like, you know, I know the difference, but I can't for the life of me remember which one is which.
Well, prokaryotes, they really like vegetables that are orange.
Prokaryotes. I like that one. That's cute. No, okay. Eukaryotes, unlike prokaryotes, have a cellular nucleus.
Yes.
And a bunch of organelles.
Yes, indeed.
And speaking of like standardized tests, I can make a syllogism. Organelles are to cells as organs are to bodies.
Nice.
Nice little place where a specific job is done in support of the overall system.
So that thing is called a syllogism?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh. I think. I hope so. I'm not sure I would pass this test.
Oh, no. Oops.
Okay. Anyway, my little mnemonic trick here. Eukaryotes are like U-Hauls.
Oh.
They're hauling around all this stuff.
Okay.
Prokaryotes are in favor of having eukaryote.
They're jealous.
You might be wondering, why are we doing all of this? Yes, well, we talked about that on Monday. Our sponsors today include
quail.
It's one of these days. I can already tell.
All right.
Our sponsors today include Think Fast, Move Fast, and a Mild Concussion.
There wasn't a single quail in there.
A single quail in there. That's not going to make any sense to them.
No.
I edited out all that crap we saved.
There was outtakes. Yeah, I swear he wanted to say quail so bad.
I didn't really have much for Monday, but it's still blinking.
Yes. Go Mudwats.
The Mudwat kit, where we're using bacteria to generate some electricity.
Mm-hmm.
It is still blinking. 55 days since it started blinking, or people noticed. Right. It started blinking, although there was a hiatus of somewhere between 3 to 5 days, so we can call it about 50 days of blinking.
Well, we fed it something, right?
We did, and the power level got as high as it ever got, and then it stopped blinking.
Overfed, fat, and happy.
Well, it's kind of funny. Like we gave it a strawberry that had gone slightly off, right? Mm-hmm. Lots of sugar in that.
Mm-hmm.
What do they say about sugar and our metabolism? You get the sugar, you get cranked up, and then your metabolism drops like crazy?
Heck yeah.
That's exactly what happened to those bacteria.
Oh, time for a nap.
Yeah. They're not putting out a lot of power. They're not expected to put out a lot of power. It's in the microwatts range, tens of microwatts.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been going for 50 days. And one wonders if you could just get it to go faster, maybe 100,000 times faster, we'd get it up into the watt range.
Heck yeah.
Although, I gotta imagine that would be too hot for them, that they cook themselves at that point.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Because bees, they can kill a hornet by warming up.
That's right. They just sort of mob it, then they cook it.
Yeah.
Delicious hornet.
I do wonder if they eat it, right? There's all this juicy goodness.
I don't think they have the mouth for it, really. But the reason we went into microbes and microbiology is because I tried to figure out how these bacteria do what they do.
Right, right.
And I've kind of got my head partially wrapped around it.
Okay.
Not going to talk about it now because I know just enough to get it wrong with authority.
Yes.
Also, we talked about some of this stuff before. Episode 254, Prebiotic Evolution Part 1, Proteins.
Oh, cool.
Episode 255, Prebiotic Evolution Part 2, DNA.
Okay.
And episode 256, what was the first food? Okay. I'm hungry all of a sudden. We were talking about sugar earlier.
I could use a pastry.
Anyway, that's more than 100 episodes back. Most podcast players won't do that for you, so you'll have to go and visit thelabwithbrad.com. Mm-hmm. We've also got more stuff about the Mudwat experiments and other experiments, which you can find at patreon.com/thelabwithbrad. Mm-hmm. But there is precedent for more juice coming out of biological systems, mm-hmm. such as the vaunted electric eel.
Oh, yes.
Who can pump out as much as 600 volts at about 1 amp.
Wow.
Which is 600 watts. Mm-hmm. So you might be wondering, what's a watt?
I'm not, but okay. People might. Right?
A watt is 1 joule per second.
Oh.
Which makes you go, what's a joule? A joule is 1 newton applied long enough to accelerate it 1 meter in the direction of the force. What's a newton?
This is never going
to
end.
No, there's an end. Okay. 1 newton is the force required to accelerate 1 kilogram 1 meter per second per second. Mm-hmm. So every second it's going 1 meter per second faster.
Cool.
So all of that. And meanwhile, we got this electric eel, mm-hmm. who, by the way, is actually a fish, not an eel.
Really?
Yeah, it's a pretty close relative to catfish.
Oh, okay.
They're called knife fish, the general category or... I don't know. I didn't look at the kingdom phylum. Oh, I didn't look at all that.
Right, right.
But it only delivers these things for like a microsecond at a time.
That's enough to get, say, drop me.
Well, I mean, they throw thousands of at you. They throw a bunch of them at you, mm-hmm. but a microsecond for time. So if you were trying to like, hey, 600 watts, but only a microsecond, how many joules is that? I can see why they don't. Yeah, I had to look around to figure out how many watts. I had to look up how to convert volts and amps into watts. So, you know, there's precedent, but it's hard work. The way the electric eel and other electric critters do it is by stacking a bunch of modified muscle cells together.
Oh.
Kind of like in series, kind of like batteries.
Ah, neat.
And the little bacteria, they kind of connect to each other to pass electrons around.
Yeah.
They're connected in series.
Well, there you go.
I mean, come on.
We just have to layer these things somehow, correct? Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe one of these days we'll monkey around with trying to mutate them and see if we can breed them into better conductors or more powerful power cells. That scares me, though.
Yeah, little did we know the robot evolution, or excuse me, takeover started with mud. We mutated them a battery.
I'm more worried about them becoming something that can make us sick.
Oh.
And even if the little electrogenic bacteria can't do it, that's a whole ecology in that soil. We have no idea what's in there. Mm. We have no idea what would happen if we mutate them.
Ethics. What is this?
I'm less worried about ethics than my own tender
ass. All right, right.
Let's have a hungry eukaryote.
Okay. Why are we having it for dinner over for dinner?
No, as an example, uh-huh. here's a hungry eukaryote, because we're going to talk about the various bits and pieces of eukaryote. What's the adjective form?
Well, I don't know.
Eukaryotic cells.
Sure.
No, I'm right about this.
Oh.
I can pass this test.
It's a new test now.
All right. Some of them, but not all of them, have a cell wall.
Okay.
This is your outside packaging. In fact, some of them even make their cell walls out of stone.
Ooh, look out.
Like diatoms, mm-hmm. a major component of diatomaceous earth.
Uh-huh.
Little bits of silicates.
Yes,
they build to just stay warm and happy and safe.
Warm, huh? Okay.
It's also done by dinoflagellates, which are...
That sounds dirty.
They got a whippy tail. All right, with or without the external wall, you get the cellular membrane
mm-hmm.
made out of lipids.
Yes.
Yeah, all day and every day. That its mission in life is to keep some stuff out and some other stuff in mm-hmm. and to move stuff across. Yep. The water just gets through anyway.
So they're always thirsty.
And then we have various kinds of passive transport. Mm. And basically, they open up a channel that will allow something or another through.
Yeah, okay.
This Like our nerve cells, for example, we have potassium and sodium ion channels.
Okay.
And they're really rather specific. They only really let potassium through the one and sodium through the other.
Oh.
Every now and then, the wrong one gets through.
Oh.
But, you know, whatever. Now, these can open and close based on various things. Sometimes it's the voltage.
Okay.
Sometimes it's when they're mechanically moved. Sometimes they got some sort of molecule that will plug it or open it up.
Wait, like a clogged pore? I mean, wait.
Yeah, I mean, on purpose, though.
Oh, okay.
And then we got active transport.
Okay.
Especially if they want, say, more ions inside of the cell than are outside of the cell.
Mm-hmm.
They're working against the gradient.
Yeah.
That takes energy. That takes work.
Okay.
Usually powered by ATP.
Mm-hmm.
And they haul the stuff in. The other way, and this is often done when the cell is accepting food particles, is to sort of dimple in that membrane.
Mm-hmm.
Pull in whatever it is, close it off until it's made a little sack.
Oh.
And then let the sack go floating inside of the cell.
Okay. Well, that's like a cyst. Now.
Except again.
On purpose. Yes.
In fact, it could go the other way, where they sort of extrude a bubble full of stuff and then, to put this delicately, pinch it off.
Are they pooping? I like it.
So our eukaryote has grabbed some food, and it is going to take that sack and move it along the cytoskeleton, which is a network of fibers and threads made of protein that provide structural strength and a way to move things around.
Cool.
As opposed to just letting them float around in the liquid inside the cell called cytoplasm.
Okay.
Now, both of those happen, but we're following this sack.
Okay.
It moves the sac to a place inside the cell called a liposome.
Okay.
Lysosome.
Lysosum. It sounds right, yeah.
Oops, I'm sorry, S-O-M-E.
Some.
Lysosome. It's not my fault, that's how they spelled it.
Sounds good. All right.
Now, inside of that little kind of teardrop-shaped chamber are a bunch of enzymes.
Cool.
Enzymes are these little, chemical, mechanical thing that encourage certain reactions to take place.
Cool.
Usually much faster than would happen otherwise.
Cool.
And they're going to tear apart the food and take the various bits of it and send them shuttling along these little fibers to other things that need them.
Okay.
Like, for example, it might take the glucose it finds and send it to the mitochondria.
Okay.
Where something happens.
The powerhouse of the cell.
It is, actually.
I don't know.
I don't want to get too detailed here because we could spend a whole episode on this and probably will. Actually, probably already have. Somewhere back in our library. You can find that by visiting labwithbrad.com.
Yeah.
It could also take amino acids
and
also some glucose to various places across the endoplasmic reticulum, which is a bunch of membranes that just sort of stick out all over the place to make a bunch of little chambers. And part of that, they make lipids, which is important for making these various membranes. Also, fat is a kind of lipid, so that too.
Well, okay.
And then on another part of the endoplasmic reticulum, the rough endoplasmic reticulum, we have little things called ribosomes.
Yes.
Now, they get RNA that come in and tell it, which is made of RNA and proteins, how to put a bunch of amino acids together to make a new protein.
Oh, cool.
This, by the way, destroys the messenger RNA in the process. And then, you know, stuff moves around. Both the lipids and the proteins move into the Golgi apparatus.
That is so much fun.
Also called the Golgi body, where some of the proteins might get refolded, lipids get packaged, more of those little vacuole cells can be made, and they get moved around to wherever they actually need to go.
Holy crap, it's the pack part of the warehouse.
Yes, it is. It's shipping.
Yes.
Here's a couple of questions. You might have. Where did these ribosomes come from?
I don't know.
And the RNA that the ribosomes are reading, where did they come from?
Right? They just sort of showed up out of,
Yeah, they come from the nucleus.
Aha.
Nucleus has its own membrane. So do most of these, actually. I should have mentioned, these are membrane-bound organelles.
Yeah, holy crap.
Yay.
We love membrane.
So the nuclear membrane has little holes in it to allow things in and out the nuclear pores.
Mm. Oh, neat.
And inside the nucleus, we have a couple of different chunks of stuff. There's the nucleolus.
Yes.
Actually, two of them, the nucleola. They are lots of RNA in there. They build the ribosomes.
Well, they're important then.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
And then send them out to wherever they're going to live.
Okay.
Then we've got the rest of the nucleus, which is all about the DNA.
Aha.
Which, by the way, is several feet of molecule wound up over and over and over again.
Wow.
We did a whole episode on this. I called it the molecular clown car.
I love it. I love it.
A couple of different things happen here. The DNA can be replicated when the cell is splitting and turning into a couple of babies.
Okay.
Or you build an RNA molecule on the DNA, which then gets shuttled off to the ribosomes to build whatever protein you need to be able to do everything else we've already talked about.
Well, cool.
Yeah, that's a mealtime for your eukaryotes.
Holy crap. I missed something. So we're doing the bubble version, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just surrounded something. And so now isn't it encased in a membrane? Like a bit of the...
Yes.
Yes. And does that just give up once it's got the food inside?
I actually don't know. That's a good question. I mean, like, the sac gets to the lysosome.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they unzip it or it dissolves or there's bound to be an enzyme doing something somewhere.
It touches and it just goes, that pop noise.
I mean, there's a couple of reasons I didn't go into too much detail about any one part of this, because any one part of this could make a whole episode. And I don't really know.
That's
the basic machinery. But there are many, 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 many different kinds of single-celled eukaryotes.
Okay.
But we'll talk about that
hey.
Next time. See you then.
Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.